When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, right back at it on The Fan. My last hour tonight. Thanks for rocking with me, whether it was for 4 hours or 4 minutes, for real. I appreciate everybody. Let's get back to the phones at 888-808-1019. We're talking sports, all right? Like, nothing specific right now. You know, no repeated takes, no repeated lines, no recycled shtick. I'm just literally talking to the fans that listen to The Fan and call The Fan and care about sports like I do. Whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, whether it's fantasy football, whether it's going to the game, whether it's how you became a fan. That's what I like to do. So let's continue. Rich is out in Corvallis, Oregon, on The Fan in New York.
All right, hey, great to talk to you. So I wanted to talk some NFL. I got two things. The first thing is, for about 2 weeks, just ending now, we had the Giants fans talking about Mara being a meddling owner.
He's not.
And then, yeah, which he's not. I agree with that. And then last night I heard somebody call in, and they were a fellow Cowboys fan of yours, and they were you'd said Jerry Jones. Like, we're never going to win a Super Bowl as long as Jerry Jones is the coach.
I did say that, and I stand by that. And
I also think you're right about that.
He's not the coach, but he might as well try and be. He's everything that he wants to be, and I just think that he's got his hands in too many things, and he doesn't know as well as he thinks he does. Just look at his moves. Look at where we are.
And you know how I know that? Is I'm a Raiders fan. So Al Davis, like, what you are entering is the Al Davis spin zone of overhead projectors and firing people willy-nilly and thinking that you know more than everybody else, even though the game may...
And a bunch of yes men and nobody that can check you and stop you and tell you, hey, this isn't leading us to victory, right?
Yeah, and it's just crazy to me to hear these Giants fans be like, oh, Mara's interfering.
Not at all.
Like, they got rid of Saquon, you know?
And his family has owned the team. He's been around the team since he could walk. So he's going to express that he has heart palpitations about thinking Saquon Barkley is going to be an Eagle. That, like, you know, he can come in the building and come into the GM's office and express his thoughts and feelings. But what you're seeing is he hired football guys at GM and head coach, and he's letting them build out their team. There is no hot seat for these guys. I think these guys have the next 5 years to get this right.
Totally agree. Yeah, like, we both know what meddling owners look like, and to think that John Mara is that is ludicrous.
No, but, and that's not. I've heard that before, and that's not a fair assessment of the guy. When you literally just gave the examples of Al Davis and Jerry Jones, those are guys that, like, they're, you know, as they're getting older and senile, they want the Super Bowl so bad. I've literally heard Jerry Jones, I'd do just about anything for that next Super Bowl. Besides, get out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a fact. And then my next question is, as a Raiders fan, where do you think the Raiders are going to go? I have them as sneaking into the playoffs, probably getting second in the AFC West.
Rich, but, you know, like, who's going to win the quarterback job? Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, I think it's Aiden O'Connell.
I think it's O'Connell, too. And I think Gardner Minshew has been a good backup, but, like, how far is Aiden O'Connell going to take you in his second year?
He's going to take us, like, I think this year's ceiling is to a playoff game. If he wins a playoff game, that's beyond the ceiling that I think. It just depends on what we get out of him, because I think our defense is good enough that, you know, if he is a top 20 quarterback, a top 16 quarterback, somewhere in that range. I think we sneak out enough wins to maybe get to 10, and that might be good enough for that last wild card.
I mean, beat the Chargers, that's not crazy to think. Beat the Broncos, that's not crazy to think. You're not beating the Chiefs, especially after
that. I mean,
that.
We beat them last year.
Yeah, but last year, I mean, they got got last year. I think they might have lost to the Broncos last year. They played a close game with the Jets, and then they turned it on when it mattered most. I just don't think you're beating the Chiefs now with the weapons that they have and the fact that one of your random DBs had a Kermit the Frog, like, dressed as Patrick Mahomes and Mahomes.
Yeah,
I guarantee you he doesn't forget that.
So I think we win on the road and we lose at home against the Chiefs.
Okay, maybe.
I know that.
Who's running
make
the balls?
The most sense.
Who's the guy? Zaire White?
Zamir White. I think Zamir White's got a lot of tread on the tires. We got Jordan. We got a dude from Minnesota who was a big disappointment for fantasy owners last year. It's Alexander Madison.
Oh, Alexander Madison.
Yeah. And then I think Dylan Labe's got, like, a little, like, he could be something, he could be nothing. You know, he's kind of boomer bust. But
around these parts, folks expect you guys to not win and trade off Davante Adams to the New York Jets. So
here, like, that's not ridiculous. The ridiculous thing is that people, like, when they announced it, like, we weren't going to trade him after the draft before we're already out of the playoffs. If we trade him, it's because we started like 3-6 in
right.
the bye weeks.
And why would it just be the Jets as the only suitor for a Davante Adams?
Yeah. And also, the Jets can't pay him. They need to make like $11 or $12 million in cap space just to afford him.
That's right as well.
Like that's I mean, that's a bigger sticking point in my mind. Like, say what you want about like their front office, but that's a lot of cap room to clear in the middle of the year or at the beginning even.
Well,
they can't even sign Hassan Reddick, so and they need the money. They need that $6 million that they got for Hassan Reddick, probably.
Antonio Pierce had Tom Coughlin at practice.
Yeah, he's been around, and Marvin Lewis has been around.
Yep.
And, you know, I have some faith in Antonio Pierce because I think he knows what he doesn't know. He's willing to reach out. He's willing to do the work. And, you know, you hear the stories of him, like, because, you know, I grew up in New Jersey. Like, my dad's a Giants fan. I root for the Giants because I hate the Patriots, and those were two of the best Super Bowls that the Raiders weren't in for me when the Giants beat them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, they say that, Antonio Pierce was pivotal in, like, identifying a way to beat Tom Brady.
Sure.
That's why I'm not as scared of the Kansas City Chiefs, because
you think they'll figure it out. You think they'll find a way. I mean, he already talked about the Mahomes rules. They're going to try and beat Mahomes up, and you got Mason Crosby, so we know how he gets.
I mean, we got Max Crosby.
Why am I saying Mason Crosby, the kicker?
Yeah.
It's getting late.
Yeah, no, it's all good. That's the end of the shift, right?
We're getting there. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Rich. 888. Imagine that. Well, you got Mason Crosby to deal with Patrick Mahomes. Mason Crosby was over here wearing Tiki Barber's jersey. Oh, geez. That's too much sports. There's too many names and too many guys with similar names. I do that all the time. Sports brain. Former Giants head coach Tom Coughlin on the Raiders hiring Antonio Pierce. He said, "I could not be prouder of Antonio Pierce being named head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm excited for him, his family, and the franchise. This is the team he grew up watching, and his belief in himself and in the players is why he's there. He's a great student of the game, a quick learner with a great attitude, and he's eager to get to work. The 2024 season just got a lot more interesting with him at the helm. Go get him, AP." So, former Super Bowl winning head coach of the Giants, Tom Coughlin, has been out in Vegas endorsing him. Let's go to Nick in New Jersey next on The Fan. What you got for us, Nick?
Hey, Keith, how we doing?
All right, rolling along here.
Yes, we are. I'm a Giant fan. I know we differ in that opinion. But last year I went to camp twice, and nothing excited me. Even, you know, the hype with the Waller stuff. And I drafted him in fantasy, too. I thought he'd be the man. I was wrong. And I just, in practices last year, the Giants had no life to them. I've seen them twice this year, and they look like a team that's going to hit some people in the mouth. Like, I know it's training camp. I know it's just practice. But I saw the difference from this year to last year. And I love Singletary getting in the fight in practice today. I didn't go to practice today. I went on Monday. So I saw Daniel Jones get into it, and I was like, what is he doing?
They're defending each other. They're sticking up for each other, and that's a good sign of camaraderie, early team chemistry, and guys going to war together, for sure.
Like, I'm friends with guys that they hate on Daniel Jones because he's a dookie, and I get it. That's a big reason to a lot of people. It's not a smart reason, but it's a reason. But I tried to be positive, overly positive. If you're a Giant fan and you watch Super Bowls 42 and 46, for the rest of your life, you are programmed to think the Giants can probably win every game they play. They're never really out of it, unless they're actually out of it.
Thanks for the call, Nick. I don't think you'd be programmed to think that the Giants can win every game that they play because of the Super Bowl wins. I thought you were going to say that if the Giants win 9 games and get into the playoffs, they can make a run. That's what we were doing just 2 years ago. Hey, how'd they win the Super Bowl? You never know. What you should also say is it was defense that did it for them. It was defense that stopped the greatest NFL quarterback and player of all time, Tom Brady. It was defense. They won it with guys up front like Michael Strahan, Justin Tuck, OCU Mignora. Now they have Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau. You following me? Peter is in Waterbury, Connecticut. Peter, you're on the Fan. Go for it.
Okay, Keith. No rain in 2 weeks.
Beer here.
Two weeks. And yeah, get the beer, but John Sterling t-shirt giveaway. And when they swept, didn't sweep, but they won the series last week.
Against Toronto?
That's the first series they won since when I was there against Minnesota.
The first series they won at home.
Yep, since the series I was there when they beat Minnesota.
Since they swept Minnesota June 4th, 5th, and 6th.
It's
too long. Yeah, too long for a team that we're calling a World Series favorite. Yeah.
And in 2 weeks, I'm going to be in Section 204, seat row 4. Seat 3 and 4.
Oh, it's a good spot. That's not far from the bleachers. If you're sitting there, you'll be able to see me. I'll be there for roll call.
Yep. Well, that's where I'll be. If you want to come down, that's where I'll be. With my lady, our new lady. That's why I've been called so much. She spent a lot of time talking on the phone. She lives up in Cutler, Maine. She's coming down and paying me a visit.
Nice. I look forward to meeting you there. And you could tell your lady, hey, I know this guy from the radio.
Yep, and I'm looking forward to see. I'll be wearing my Yankee hat, and she'll be wearing a Yankee hat I gave her. It's the first time she's ever been in a ballpark.
Awesome.
So when she grew up, she was a little girl, and her grandfather lived in the Bronx, and he wouldn't let her go up to the roof because from there she could see the stadium and watch the game.
Great call, Peter. I'll see you there. I love the fact that every time you go to Yankee Stadium, it's someone's first time at Yankee Stadium. So, yeah, Tuesday, August 20th, I got to mark that on my calendar for sure. That'll be a night where I leave the house at 3 o'clock, no later than 4 o'clock, drive up to Yankee Stadium. And that's the start of the season. That's the start of the series against Cleveland, which is very important. I think we got to put respect on the Cleveland Guardians. I'll definitely be there for that first game. It'll be John Sterling t-shirt giveaway night. John Sterling and Susan Waldman celebrating their 20 years together. I will be there on August 20th, And I'll probably be there for roll call, and I'll see you in the bleachers. I'll see you in 204. I'll remember that. 888-808-1019. What is going on with the Mets? Ross is in Bergen County. Ross, you're on the Fan.
Keith, this is a freaking mess, man. How's it going?
I'm watching the game.
You know what?
Yeah, go. I'll let you talk about it.
No, it's all good. You look at the Anaheim series, and people looking at it from, I guess, last half full. You look at the St. Louis game and say you split 2-2. That's all good and dandy. Now you go to Colorado, and I get they have a solid lineup, but you put up 3 measly runs against this lineup where I just, or this pitching staff, where I just saw a tweet, somebody looking at the box score, every pitcher that threw a pitch for the Rockies tonight has an ERA north of 5, except for maybe the closer. I think he took that screenshot before this ninth inning, but every pitcher for the Rockies tonight has an ERA north of 5, and they put up 3 runs. You look at all the missed opportunities at the runners in scoring position. Winker with the first and third one out double play. He's looking like Tyler Naquin all of a sudden. And I can't even say, I wanted him here. So it looks like I'm going to have to eat crow on that early. Just overall, man, situationally, this team, you know what? It feels like there's nothing worse in sports than your team playing down to lowly competition. And that's what this Mets franchise is the king of. Because you look back to, I hate to sound like a broken record, but you look at September 2022, everybody points at the Braves and Padres getting swept in Atlanta, dropping 2-3 to San Diego, obviously in the wild card. But if they played more than like 2 games over 500, I think is what they finished that month of September at, they had the easiest strength of schedule going into that month, and they were like 13-11. They played, I think they dropped 2-3 out in Oakland. They got swept by the Cubs. That was before Bellinger came in, and they just completely half-assed that month of September, and that's why that Atlanta series was so crucial. Now you're looking at a wild card hunt where you're basically treading water and every game means more than the next. You're going to drop two series to 2 of the worst teams in the league, where especially now, where it's pretty damn difficult to be out of it in August with the extra wild card and 2 of the like 5 or 6 teams that are out of it already. You're going to drop series to both of them. And I think, honestly, dude, this is where that second shoe drops. And I think we're looking at the same old Mets all over again.
There it is, Ross in Bergen County. He's a young guy. Hasn't seen much success. Not feeling what he's seeing from the New York Mets. It is what it is. I mean, this game isn't over yet. There's 2 outs. There's a runner on first. I don't know. It's probably over. I mean, Alex Young comes in. They tack on an insurance run. It was 5-3. Now it's 6-3. And it's tough. You can't drop these games. With Severino on the mound, you figure that was the best arm you had going in the series, going up against Kyle Freeland. So let's see the matchup. The next game is Paul Blackburn, and he'll be facing Ryan Feltner. I think you won Paul Blackburn's first start. Why can't you win the next one? You need to win the next one or you lose the series. Like, it's a must-win game tomorrow. And Lindor grounds out, and that ends the game. The Rockies defeat the Mets 6-3 in the first game of this series. And that's not great with the wild card standings, as you just heard Ross talking about the other teams and where you are. And yeah, now it's a must-win game tomorrow. And then the next day after that, you got to win back-to-back games with David Peterson on the mound versus Austin Gomber. 888-808-1019. Mets fans, call me up. Tell me who you're mad at. Jesse Winker hasn't exactly had his make-it-happen Mets moment yet. Luis Severino turning back into Luis Severino of old, getting hit up, giving up 8 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned, and still not backing up the catcher. Who you mad at? Lindor now, who just grounded out to end the game. And not for nothing, all that talk about Lindor as an MVP candidate, that has evaporated. He struck out 3 times tonight. Pete Alonso got a hit and struck out twice. But Pete Alonso, who was telling you about how many homers he's on his way to and him being an all-star, he isn't able to come up big for you. I don't know, you're searching a little bit. Harrison Bader's 2 runs and Nimmo's RBI. It's not enough. What is up with this lineup? What is up with this Mets lineup who was almighty? I guess they got to go back tomorrow to batting Pete Alonso 5th. This lineup was the best lineup in baseball for a stretch. Their numbers were ridiculous. And now they can't seem to consistently score enough runs.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manny calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, pops it up, first wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight's Casamigos Big Shot of the Night goes to the guy that we traded for Luis Gil. It's Jake Cave. Wow. Jake Cave with the game tied. Jake Cave hits that ball high to left field. And that ball, it's out of here. Jake Cave does the damage. Jake Cave makes it happen. Jake Cave, your Casamigos Big Shot of the Night tonight for the Colorado Rockies as they take the first game of the series against the Mets. His one hit drives in two ribbies, and Colorado wouldn't lose the lead after that. 888-808-1019. Let me take the rest of my calls. But yeah, bro, can't be dropping these games to these teams like this. Same thing goes for the Yankees, right? You got to handle business. Finish your food. These teams that are beneath you, they have nothing to play for. You're going to get their best shot. They have nothing to play for. They're out of it. There's no pressure. They're swinging free. They're pitching free. And at this point in the season, every game matters for a team like the New York Yankees trying to win their division, which right now, take a look at those standings, hit refresh with the Orioles losing. Your Yankees are outright in first place. When you go over and hit that wild card, right now it's in the American League, the Cleveland Guardians, the New York Yankees, and the Seattle Mariners. In the wild card, it's the Baltimore Orioles, the Minnesota Twins, and the Kansas City Royals. Who scares you out of those teams? The Guardians, the Mariners, the Orioles, the Twins, the Royals. That's why it would be so dumb this year. Like, it was already dumb that they didn't go in and all the way stack the deck at the deadline. But if the Yankees stay healthy, it would be so dumb this year for them to not win the division, not have the best record, not get a bye, and not figure out how to get back to the World Series. That one's going to suck. That one's going to hurt. If this year, if they don't get it done, we're going to remember forever. Like, bro, they traded for Juan Soto, Alex Verdugo, Jazz Chisholm, John Birdie, Mark Leiter Jr., Judge was going crazy, Volpe figured it out when they moved him back to the bottom of the order, and they still didn't get it done. They have to get it done. When we take a look at the National League leaders, Philadelphia Phillies, I mean, they're trash. They're 2-8 in their last 10. They haven't been able to win a series, but they're still in first place. The Dodgers are in first place. The Brewers are in first place. And then when you look at the NL wild card now, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they've been on one. Same thing with the Padres. Now the Diamondbacks hold the top spot. The Padres are right there underneath them. Both of them go 8-2 in their last 10. And then the Braves have the third spot, and the Mets are a game and a half out on the outside looking in. Let me take the rest of my calls, and I'm going to get up out of here. C-Mac is coming up next, and I'm sure by then all the Mets fans will call in to hate on Mark Vientos, Luis Severino, Pete Alonso, Alex Young. Eric is out in Rivervale, New Jersey. Eric, you're on The Fan.
Keith, how we doing, buddy?
I am doing fantastic on The Fan, feeling fantastic.
That's what I like to hear. Wrapping up the show, great show as always. And, yeah, couldn't agree with you more on the Yanks real quick. I mean, I called to talk on the Jets. But, yeah, the Yanks, they're looking good. I mean, they seem to be getting right and getting healthy at the right time. And, yeah, there's nobody in that American League that particularly scares me. So if they can keep it together, stay healthy, I think, yeah, this could be a really, really, really good season for the Giants.
I will say, Framber Valdez looks like he's in postseason form tonight. Framber Valdez and the Houston Astros, they still don't scare me, but this guy almost had a no-no tonight, and the Astros, they'll be hanging around. They'll be hanging around.
Yeah, and that guy has had the Yankees number, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll see. As far as the Jets, now, I tried to get in on with you earlier because I share your enthusiasm. I'm extraordinarily excited about where the Jets are and what this season could be. Because, gosh, I mean, I feel like if, as a Jets fan, if they can't do it now and can't do it with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, when else are they going to do it? I mean, the team is stacked. The Hassan Reddick thing really just boggles my brain. I cannot quite figure out what is happening there. And, you know, it seems like there's blame, you know, on both sides. But this guy's lost, what, nearly about $500,000 so far, I think. And, you know, I think the Jets can fine him another $300,000. So this guy's going to lose $1 million. And I just can't quite figure out what the issue is and why they can't get a contract together. So that's kind of the only, I think, dark cloud that's kind of looming over them right now.
I talked to Antoine Staley about it around like 8:20, 8:25. You know, it's because if he comes to camp and he gets hurt and it's a season-ending injury, they can cut him and that's that. You know, he's going to lose this money, but there's a way for the Jets to restructure his contract to give him some incentives and some money up front. But I think the guy's just not beat for training camp. I hope he's working out and running and training. He's going to play because he's trying to get paid. But, yeah, it's just not a great situation when you trade for a guy. He's been MIA the entire time. You got to find him.
Right.
Like, we don't know what his attitude is going to be. We don't know what type of shape he's going to be. You just got to cross your fingers because if he's available, he's a beast. But, you know, Antoine brought up Javon Kinlaw, and I think Javon Kinlaw, Jets fans are going to get to see him this year. We kind of haven't been speaking about the addition of Javon Kinlaw, and he's going to make an impact.
Well, that's good because clearly McDonald's not it. So, you know.
Yeah, it's Jermaine Johnson and Quinnen Williams and Quincy Williams. But I really think that if the Jets can somehow find a way, and of course they can, anyone can in week one, find a way to beat the Niners in their building week one, and then the schedule is looking like you can go 5-0 for sure. And if you do that, then the playoffs are really real by mid-October.
I completely agree. I think after that week one game, it is off to the races for the Jets. And, you know, fingers crossed, everybody stays healthy. And we'll see. I mean, the big question mark for me, and I so badly want to like him, is Robert Saleh, man. I mean, is he the head coach, you know, that can get us, you know, to a Super Bowl? I have significant questions. I really do, particularly, you know, with the way things have been handled in the offseason, and I don't know where the blame lies there. I mean, obviously the PR machine that is the New York Jets is always a bit of a disaster, but Robert Saleh just doesn't seem to have a ton of control, you know, of that locker room and seems to run a pretty loose ship over there. And when you've got a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who is wildly passive aggressive and can certainly cause some off-field issues, I just have some concerns about Saleh's ability to keep, you know, control of that locker room.
I'll say this. He can't control those guys. We've seen too much evidence of it. Yeah, they might like him, but I don't know if they respect him like that. And that might just be something inside the locker room with the X's and O's and the Jimmys and Joes. And maybe they just feel like he's just a defensive guy and not a proven head coach, whatever. But I have been reading that he's spending more time with the offense and more involved with the offense, and I think that's going to help his clock management, him calling timeouts, his awareness of in-game situations. And with Aaron Rodgers on the field, you have a coach on the field. So I think they'll be better this year. Aaron Rodgers knows when to call a timeout.
Yeah, fair point. And I also actually look to see, I think Lazard's going to have a season this year. I really do. I think he's going to be
that as well.
You know, somebody that could be pivotal for us. And now that Rodgers is back, makes our offense a completely different
animal. He didn't come here to play with Zach Wilson last year. He came here to play with Aaron Rodgers. And him and Aaron Rodgers have rapport. So.
And it could be argued that nobody really played with Zach Wilson last year because that was an abomination as far as quarterback play goes. I mean, what the Jets could have been if they had a quarterback. So, you know, all signs point to a solid season. So here's hoping, my friend. 13 or more, I think, is definitely in the cards.
13 wins or more, Eric. Keep the hope and faith alive because this is the time you're supposed to believe. This is the time you're supposed to feel good until Sunday comes and it's the fourth quarter and you're like, man, this sucks. My fantasy team sucks. None of my parlays hit, and we're 0-1. Dave is out in Belleville. Dave, you're on the Fan.
How you doing, Keith? It's been a long time since we talked.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Dave.
Now, talking about somebody going out to San Fran to beat the Niners, you know, we need to go out there and beat the Niners October 27th.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a dollar on it. Remember what happened last year?
No, I remember.
I actually bet on the Cowboys that game. I thought they actually were going to do something with them. They got embarrassed. George Kittle's holding up his shirt. It says F Dallas. They couldn't do a thing with them. They got absolutely embarrassed. Tony Pollard was getting trucked. He was getting scooped off his feet. Fred Warner pile driving him into the ground.
Now, did I read correctly? Is Ezekiel like trying out for? They're checking him out to be running back?
He's signed. Ezekiel Elliott is signed. Not only did they sign him with a new contract that they're paying him, they're still paying the dead cap from his old contract that they gave him, the 6 years, $90 million. It's so dumb, but you know what? There's like some records he's in reach of with yards and touchdowns, and Jerry Jones won't miss an opportunity for a good pop. So you know what they're doing now? Instead of Cowboys fans keeping those old 21 jerseys, he's wearing number 15. They're selling more Ezekiel Elliott jerseys to the stupid Dallas Cowboys fans that love Zeke. Feed me. He's going nowhere. He's not a good running back anymore. He's absolutely cooked. I just saw Royce Freeman, who they signed, got hurt today. It's going to be Rico Dowdle. What a joke. You have no running game. So it's all on Dak in a contract year for him and the head coach. Here you go, Dak. We don't believe in you. Do it again. Where's CeeDee Lamb?
What's up with that now? Is he? I know that they just listed him as whatever. If he goes a certain amount of days without coming to training camp, they keep his roster spot open. CeeDee Lamb, they could bring some.
A B C D T D Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is one of the best wide receivers in this NFL, and we just keep seeing wide receivers in this NFL get paid, from DJ Moore to Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill got his contract restructured. Like, I don't know what they're waiting for. They could have paid CeeDee Lamb already, and he's not going to
budge. But he's under contract, right?
Yeah, but he's holding out because of the year that he just had. And he knows with the pecking order and like what's going on with Dak and Micah trying to get paid and the way that these jokers operate, he's like, man, run me my money.
So what is the rookie? How long is the rookie deal go for then? Like how long is the guy you just mentioned, the linebacker?
I think it's 3 years with an option for four, or 4 years with another year on it. But it's not so much like how long does it extend? It's about these guys forcing their hands. Like Ezekiel Elliott had 2 years before they had to pay him, and he went to Cabo and he held out.
Too. I remember he and actually missed how some he games got paid. Too, didn't he?
No, he didn't miss any games. Jerry Jones got on the podium and he said, "Zeke who?" And then, they called his bluff, and he ended up paying Ezekiel Elliott, and then they made some Zeke who T-shirts to try and laugh it off. Dumb. It was stupid. You give a running back that you drafted fourth overall 6 years, $90 million? What?
What do you think Dak would get in the open market? I mean, should they pay him? I still don't see him winning the Super Bowl for us.
I have respect for the man that Dak is. I think he's going to have a good year. He's a father now. I think he's been around long enough that, like, he this stuff is not hard for him. He's making some good throws. But what I'll say is, they fumbled his contract so many times. He could command $60 million in the free agent market. Supposedly, they're trying to get an extension done with him, but it's so foolish that this fourth round quarterback, you've had to pay all this money, and all this guy has done is fold in the playoffs. I mean, he's had some good regular seasons. Don't get me wrong. He was in the MVP conversation, but who cares about that?
So these players that sign these extensions early or whatever, if they have a bad year, do they give money back? I don't see that happening.
No, that's not how it works, and there's so much guaranteed money. I just pulled up CeeDee Lamb has it. So it's a four-year rookie deal. This is year four, but, like, he doesn't have to play under that. He's trying to force them to pay him, like, the higher-paid receivers in the league.
But if he holds out, he doesn't get paid, right?
Yeah, but whatever. He's rich anyway. He's got millions anyway. He's working out, and he's chilling.
I think they
have to pay him.
I read that they signed three players – right? They signed two linebackers and an O-lineman recently. Yeah,
mid guys. They signed USFL guys in the offseason when Jerry Jones said that they were going all in. They just added some mid guys to the team that they're not going to move the needle. This team is flawed. The roster is flawed. I just heard Mike McCarthy going on. Yeah, Mike McCarthy's definitely fired no matter what they do this year. But he's going on about how great the rookie class has been and how the rookie class is better than any rookie class you've seen. Like, bro, they're rookies. What are we talking about?
But I saw Diggs said that he's in top form, right?
I mean, what you heard coming back from a torn ACL, they're going to rely on Diggs. They're going to rely on Deron Bland. Let's see how it goes. They didn't bring Stephen Gilmore back, which I'm fine with, but I don't know if those are two. I don't know. I don't feel that great about the corners. I don't think that they're just locked down. They're talking a big game right now, though.
How about the receivers? They still have Gallup, or he's gone?
Gallup retired.
He retired.
Yeah, Michael.
So who,
Gallup
who are the receivers?
I mean, Jalen Tolbert, Jalen Brooks, Brandon Cooks is still there. But Brandon Cooks is old.
Exactly. And the tight end that had a good year.
Jake Ferguson.
Yeah.
I'm down on him. If they win 10 games this year, I'll be surprised.
I can't believe the Giants paid our lineman. What's his name? You know, to signed him to a couple year contract. Allen was it?
Who?
Who's the Cowboys offensive lineman that the Giants?
I think you're talking about Tyron Smith. He's with
Tyron
the Jets.
Smith, that's it. Oh, that's right.
He's not practicing. He's got tightness.
I see so many false starts from him.
Yeah, false starts, and you've seen these younger defensive ends blow by him. They give him a couple moves. He's stuck in mud. We'll see. I was telling the Jets fans that we're celebrating that. I'm like, in theory, he's a Hall of Famer, great left tackle. But he's one step away from a calf injury, a quad injury, and he's also just not the guy that he used to be. He's getting up there in age.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, good luck. I'll talk to you during the season. What? We got a tough schedule to begin with, too. We got the Ravens early, too.
Yeah, just brace for impact. All that, we them boys, how about them Cowboys? Not this year. Thanks for the call, Dave. 888, you guys know the number. I won't be able to take your call. I got to take my last two calls. Kenny in Queens, you got it. You're on the Fan.
What's up, brother? How you been?
I'm good.
Well, I'm a Cowboy fan, too, but ignore the CeeDee Lamb talk because apparently they had a deal done and it disappeared, but took hold from the Yankees. I hit you up on I messaged you guys about on Facebook, but Jazz Chisholm, how great is that guy?
I don't know. I mean, he had a great start, a great immediate impact. He's got to follow it up. He's got to make, another. He's got to do it in the Bronx. He's got to have another good series coming up here with the Angels.
26 years old, though. It's finally like, make a trade.
Yeah, you get younger. You get more athletic. You get a guy with some pizzazz, some aura, some swag, some style. I'm all for it. I just think that, the way he burst on the scene, he set the bar so high. And now he's come back down to earth a little bit. I got faith in him, but he's got to adjust a little bit. It's a lot coming to New York, adjusting to being in Miami with the Marlins and 5,000 fans versus Yankee Stadium with 40,000 plus, and you're the star now.
And how do you feel about the rumors about Rizzo coming back? What do you do with Ben Rice? I love Ben Rice. I think he's aggressive, but you got to go Rizzo.
Yeah, I just think that they're gonna. Do what they always do. Go with seniority, go with time, just go with tenure in the back of the baseball card. And they're going to say, hey, when Rizzo's ready, this is it for Rizzo. So they're going to let him rock. And Ben Rice, will see you next year. But we're going to go with the veteran for the postseason, whatever. I don't necessarily agree with that. But that's what they do. That's why DJ deserves to play. That's why, Stanton is right in there. And all these other older guys, like the Yankees historically look at the back of the baseball card and these guys' resumes and they say, here you go. Thanks for the call, Kenny. Last call of the night goes to Dwight in Asbury Park.
Hey, man, the Olympics. Hey, that 400 for the guys, that's going to be on and popping tomorrow, kid.
Yeah. I'll be looking for it. You know what, Dwight? I haven't caught the Olympics live, but I've gone back in the Peacock app And it's weird because they just like they just play it with no commercials, and you got to fast forward it and try and find the right spot. It's tough to watch. So I should try and catch that live.
Yeah, hey, look out for that dude, Quincy Hall. He might pull off that upset.
Quincy Hall, I will. How about your boy Noah Lyles?
Oh, he won that by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah, he was flexing, too.
Joints.
I went back and saw
like,
that. The way he came out in Hot Dog, the way he came out and like showboated before the race, I'm like, you did a lot of showboating to barely win it. But, hey, a win is a win. I'm not going to take anything from him.
Hey, I'm out, kid.
I'll holler at you, Dwight. That's all I've got. Another five-hour KM to AM when you need it. I can't stand the rain. We got to get these games in, though, for real. Can't lose to the Angels. Play two, take two tomorrow? Nah, we're not playing those games tomorrow. It's going to rain tomorrow, too. So, we'll see. Chris McMonagle is coming up next. Chris is going to talk to you about the Mets game and what happened in Colorado. I'm going to drive home and listen and be like, just kidding. I love the Mets. These are my Mets. I've never paid this much attention to the Mets ever. Thanks for paying attention to my show. I'm out of here. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.